Welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Steve Adeboye, and this is season 4. Yes, we are counting down the amazing episodes that we've done in the past as a retrospective, but also we're going to move forward in terms of telling my story and talking about mindset in particular. You know, with the idea of me doing this podcast to begin with, it was always about the journey of an entrepreneur and what they go through. Because I remember, you know, way back in 2016, 17, you know, there was an entrepreneurship bubble that occurred, and everyone was glorifying, you know, the hustle culture. And I wanted to really dive into the idea of what it does it take to actually do well, and what are the stories that people go through. And I learned so much from all the interviews I've done in the past. And I have this great appreciation and perspective that I learned more about not only their journey, but more about myself going through this process, and knowing that you have so much potential if you really put your mind to it. And if you support yourself with great people, you have a solid foundation as to why you do it. And it made me question things about this podcast and how I want to move forwards. And one of the good things about this podcast is that it can evolve and it can change. So I do want to introduce more things, more creative outlets in this podcast. And I do want to talk about the mindset of someone who's trying to create something with this brand, but without going too detailed as to where this will go. Let's go back. Let's talk about mindset. Let's talk about the idea of having to go through limited beliefs and trying to overcome them and trying to make yourself a better version of yourself. So this interview that I did was with Sarah, who I met online through Bumble Business, and we had an initial conversation, and the idea was just to have a, you know, idea of what we wanted to talk about in terms of mindset and life and just your goals and everything in between. So we recorded this episode on the fly, and I definitely enjoyed editing it, so I hope you enjoy listening to it. So without further ado, here's the episode. And just realizing your mind is so powerful, and the limits you put on it versus the unlimited potential that you have can make you become something else, even physically speaking as well. Like, if you don't take care of your mind, your body falls down and you become ill. But if you look after your mind, you're more likely to do things that are more positive, and you're able to spread positivity and realize there's a big change from where you were to where you are right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Mind is everything. Mind is everything. It's not about your body. It's not about your situation. It's about what you believe you can do. It's always that.
Yeah.
Whether you believe that you are not enough, or you believe that you are enough, you are right in both of them. It's all about how you believe, and you know how much you believe that you can do it.
Oh yeah. Do you feel like you had to train that muscle in your mind to really kind of think that way, or do you think, okay, the world's asking me to put pressure on me to even decide yes or no?
I think I did grow through pressure, because I was putting myself in very uncomfortable situations all the time. And I don't think human beings will ever grow without pressure and without being in an uncomfortable place. You know, because what happens is that we like to be comfortable, but you cannot expect to see your life grow and to see yourself grow if you are sitting down in your couch watching TV all day. Like, that is not going to happen unless you believe in a higher in a higher power that will make it happen for you, you know. It's not going to help. No.
There was a quote, I can't remember where I heard it, but if everything was painted in gold, then nothing would grow. So like, if you have a flower and you paint it in gold, it's just going to be, obviously it looks good and stuff, but there's no growth in that. And sometimes we get, you know, accustomed to the luxuries of life, and, you know, we kind of say, okay, once I hit this peak, I'm cool, I'm going to sell, I'm going to chill. But there's so much you can do, and, you know, life is always evolving, and you have to understand that you have to keep up with that. Otherwise, you'll get stagnant. And I think
culturally speaking, there's so much comforts that exist in our world. So it's very hard for us to really break into that next level if we wanted to, unless you're pressured, unfortunately.
And you know, I think that there is a beautiful thing that is happening right now, is that once you realize that growth only comes when you are uncomfortable, you put yourself in situations that are uncomfortable, like on purpose. And you know what happens? That like every time I had a job, I felt safe, and I didn't work on my dreams because I felt safe. And this is exactly what is happening with many of my clients. Maybe they have wealthy partners and they see themselves enjoying life in a whole different level. And they forget about working on themselves though. And they forget about their dreams and they forget about the things that they want to create in their life. And that is where I tend to help them realize that life can change and you can die literally in a week. And I tend to ask them this question: if you were to die tomorrow, would you be happy with the things that you've done until now? And then if you've tried your best, I'm sure that many people, regardless of how much you've tried, they will say, no, I wouldn't be fine because I don't want to die, obviously. But it is true that if someone was to tell me that you were going to die tomorrow, like to myself, I would be okay. You know, I've taken risk. I've helped people. I've created things from scratch. I've crossed many different limitations that I believed about myself. I helped people to become better. I always try to live life like it was, you know, the last day of my life.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have the same sentiments as well. Like, idea. But it's kind of a bittersweet moment because, going a little bit personal, but I treat each day really 100% now. And to the point where I know it will become a memory tomorrow. So sometimes there are people like, okay, they're coming to my life, I'm like, I want to give you the best version of myself. Here I am. And then, you know, that could change. You know, people grow, people like grow each other, whatever the case is. But I look back and I said, I gave that my all in that relationship, or I gave that my all in my job, or I gave that all in terms of the pursuits I'm going for. So I don't look back and saying, oh, I could have done more. There's no regret. And so there's a saying called Amor Fati, which is a lover of fate. And so no matter how good or bad your fate is, it's almost determined for you to take it and seize the day, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know, such deep stuff. So wait, when it comes to coaching your clients, how are you finding that? Like you said, you've seen limitations, but also you've seen potential as well. But what are the biggest things that you work with your clients?
Oh, thank you for asking that. Well, I first started off helping them to get clear on their vision and what is their vision for their life, for their ideal life, you know. Especially I tend to get very specific with them and say, no, I don't want you to give me only your vision for your life. I want you to give me your vision for your perfect job, you know. And then we can make it happen from there. Then we go through some limiting beliefs that they may be carrying from, you know, many years ago, or some personal blocks about money, about love, about relationships, about their professional life, or even about themselves. So we make sure that we clear the path so they can just grow and become better and better and better every day. We work on where these beliefs are coming from. We work on understanding if these beliefs are really true or are just part of our cognitive distortions, which is really, really a thing. I studied this through psychology and through David Burns from the CBT book that he wrote. And we have so many different cognitive distortions, not only about what we feel, also about our beliefs and how we see the world around us.
Yeah.
Then we go through a plan and a strategic strategy, so we understand what exactly we have to do in different days and in different weeks, understanding how much we go, and we get deadlines, we make it happen, you know, and we understand what we have to do in order for us to get where we want to be. And we apply the modeling, which is, have you heard of modeling?
You can tell me.
No. So it's about neuro-linguistic programming. And they say that one of the keys in order for you to grow and to success in anything you want to do is to find someone that is already been successful in what you want to be successful on, and then modeling what they've done to get there. So one thing that I tend to say is that I don't know everything, you know, I don't know how all the jobs work. I don't know about all the businesses in the world, but I do know how to research, and I do know what I have to know in order for people to grow as much as they are able to. Then we go after the strategy. We go through the action. I make sure that I'm there for them. I keep them. I keep them accountable. I'm there just in case they lose their motivation or something comes up or they get distracted through the you know, process, which is really real. Like, we have that a lot, especially with all the things that are super, like, all our phones, social media, all the mental stimulation we're having constantly, TV, people. So it's really easy to just, like, go to, you know, leave the path of, like, self-discipline and getting out from, you know, where you have to be. So yes, and then after that, ideally, we will be very, 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 very close to our goal, and that will be it, you know. And once we finished with all the work, we see the results and we reflect on what has happened. And if I've done well my job, the person will be in a very good place.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm happy. I'm really happy when my clients say, "I don't need you anymore. I'm good." You know, I've done everything that I had to do in my business. I've done everything that I had to do in my personal life, and you've changed my life. And I'm like, okay, this is why I work, and this is why I'm so passionate about what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to live, and I want you to live, you know, being a completely different version of yourself.
Yeah, it's good to see that, because sometimes, you know, when you're coaching someone, there's some sort of attachment that exists because everyone's helping them, you're helping them improve their lives. So it's like, okay, I always need you. I kind of rely on you to keep going. But, you know, if you're thinking about sports, for example, you might have a coach to practice your swing. Once you practice your swing enough and you're doing well, you might not need that coach. So you're more self-reliant on yourself to always perform that way. But I was just going to say, how important is it for people to have an accountability partner, a coach, in life? Do you have to be a high performing individual, or can you know, not doing so well, or can you be in the middle ground? Say you're just in that middle state of mind. Do you think everyone should have someone like that?
I think this is why it's becoming so popular right now in the companies and in the, you know, big companies like Microsoft, Google. They all have coaches inside those companies, inside each department. So they make sure that people are in the highest peak. You know, and this is why there's coaches for everything. There's coaches for your style, there's coaches for well-being, there's coaches for everything, because coaching is essential, especially someone that believes in you more than yourself, more than you believe in yourself. Once you have someone that believes in you, you really can do anything. And this is why I keep saying it, because I really believe that all beliefs and the thoughts we, you know, our self-talk is so powerful to do everything. This is why for me coaching is so essential, because a coach really will believe in yourself. And if you have a coach that doesn't believe in you, just run. Honestly, yeah. It's like having family and they don't believe in you. The only people, you know, that should believe for sure in yourself is your family.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot with parents, like with parents and, you know, kids that have low self-esteem because their parents never believed in them.
Mm. Yeah.
So important, it's so essential.
Yeah, and it, you know, parenting styles are so interesting because you can't choose your parents. Your parents are, you know, part of the people you grow up in life. But you can choose where you go afterwards and, you know, really being self-reflective and seeing, okay, whilst I did good areas and parts of my life, there might be areas I need to improve on. And when you're an adult, you have to take ownership of that. And so you kind of have to look for new mentors to sort of almost become the next version of yourself and not be victim to your past, which is, exactly. I think everyone, in some extent, no matter how privileged you were or not, we all have to go through this journey of life to sort of find that version of our adult selves. Instead of looking at our childhood and going, well, even though I'm successful back then, doesn't mean you're successful as an adult, materialistic wise as well. You got to grow and become your own person.
Exactly. And I believe that one of the things that I said to one of my clients the other day is that, you know, it is okay if you were a victim for maybe 18 years of your life while you were living with your family. But once you get out from your family house and once you become fully independent, you have to let go of all these excuses and you have to start taking ownership of every single move and every single action you take in your life. Because what happens when we become victims is that we view ourselves as someone small and we view ourselves as the unlucky one and there's nothing to do with us because I'm already broken, so who cares? But when you really start seeing all the things that you can do, you start letting go of this victim style of, you know, behaving and thinking of yourself as a victim. And also, like, honestly, like, you will never attract the right people in your life if you view yourself as a victim.
Yeah, completely agree with that.
Like, you will never attract the right people in your life if you view yourself as a constant victim of everything and all the world and everything. I, like, literally hear everyone say this constantly, which is, I lost my job, so I don't know what to do anymore. I'm lost in life. Well, if you lost your job, you have to keep moving, keep working on yourself.
Yeah.
Attract the kind of job you want, you know. Mm. Stop being a victim. You're not going to get a job if you go there and you are a victim. You're not going to get the love of your life and your soulmate, that person is going to help you to grow and everything, if you are behaving like a victim. Because we are humans. We are all about energy. And victims always have low energy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know what's funny? Because I used to think about energy being very woo-ha, like, oh yeah, kind of just whatever. But energy is more about your presence, how you show up to the world as well. And that's all internal. So if you are showing nervousness, if you're showing insecurities, it will come out in your actions. And that's the practical element of your energy, is how you show up in life. And, you know, we know if someone isn't ready for you right now, just because, you know, you have insecurities of your own. But there's one thing that I've had to remind myself is, if you had a child, or if you know of a child, would you speak badly about that child in front of them? You know, because the case is, you wouldn't do that for a child. Why would you do that to yourself? Because our insecurities are in a child, right? So you have to treat it with kindness. You have to treat it with love. And that's where self-love comes from. So the more you give yourself self-love, then the more you radiate, you know, positive energy in yourself, and then you attract the right people. And then from that, it just compounds. So you start, you know, seeing better things for yourself.
And also what happens is that all self-talk is a habit. You have to break that habit. Mm-hmm. And also, if you speak badly to yourself, you're more likely to speak badly to other people. So if you want to be a good partner, if you want to be a good dad and a good mom and everything, you have to be aware of your self-talk first. So you can start expressing yourself in a different way and start being more aware of the kind of language you use with yourself, so you can improve your language with the people around you and your energy and the energy that of people around you. Yeah.
It's a weird thing. They don't teach this in school. Like, they teach you to be kind to each other, but over the time you start knowing other things that are not important, but this is probably the most important thing you're learning in your life. Because again, the only person you have to rely on is yourself. And if you can't look after yourself, then how can you look after the things around you? And sometimes we look at the world outside and say, well, feed us that information, feed us that knowledge, feed us this, you know, positive energy. But if you can't handle that, you're just gonna, you know, you're gonna lose it all in some fashion.
And you know, something interesting about school, I'm glad you mentioned it. The fact that in school, we learn how to do things that we don't enjoy doing just because you have to do it. But in reality, you can do things that you enjoy doing and you will be able to make money, even more money from it because you're passionate about it.
Yeah.
What happens is that if we allow ourselves to always be in a place where we don't want to be, we will see that as the normal thing, you know, and we will stop having hobbies. We will only focus on, you know, on the things that you have to do because you have to pay bills and you have to be in the right standard for your family, for the society and everything. And sometimes the people that you admire the most are the people that really broke that false belief about, like, you have to work on things even though you don't like it. No, like, people that you admire the most are people that really are doing great things just because they want to do it, not because other people are telling them to do it.
Yeah.
And they're passionate about their jobs.
Mm.
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a funny story. There's a trip I went to Croatia and we were just, you know, kayaking. So we were literally just rowing the boat and stuff. And I can't row because this is my first time. So I'm behind. So everyone's ahead and I'm behind. And my friend, he's quite heavy as well. He was like trying to do it with me. And then the guy in the kayak, he was just doing this, just talking and all that stuff. It's a weird one, but I had a conversation with him. And I'm like, you know, what's next for you? He goes, no, this is it. This is all I want to do. All I want to do is just kayak, enjoy my life. I see new people, I talk to them and, you know, have cool stories and I live an easy life. And it came to my, you know, attention that sometimes we overwork ourselves to the point where we feel like, okay, we had to be someone, had to be something special. And that's great. If that's something you want to do, that's fine. But there's another direction, which is just being blissfully happy, just having a content life that isn't so stressful, that you don't have to pay bills, that you can just do the things you're passionate about and have a fulfilling life that way. So it's interesting. I don't know your perspective on it. If you're also teaching people to find their core joy and finding how to sort of find happiness in that area, or if you just help high performance individuals do well in life as well.
So it's all about what they value. You know, if you value freedom, I'll give you freedom. I'll help you to achieve freedom. But if you value happiness and you value doing things that you enjoy doing and everything, I will help you to find that thing that really makes you feel fully happy, you know. The thing is that it's really much, we have to learn how to need less. Because what happens is that when we are, for example, when you are working in the city and you are having in London, people get a lot of money in there, and you get a very expensive house, and then you start traveling and you get a new car, and then in the middle of that process you then realize that you hate your job and you cannot do it anymore, and you're stressed out, and you literally have to leave because you're having side effects and consequences in your personal and professional life. But then they are in a trap because they have so many expenses, so much. And what happens is that this is why minimalism is so big right now.
Yeah.
Because they found the secret, you know, they found the reason why people are so happy with less. Because you don't really need much. And this is why every time we go to a nice country and we only get a backpack and we have like little, like so few things. And then we realize, well, I don't need my huge TV. I don't need all my things, all the things I have in my house. And I only need this, the basic food, water, a couple of clothes, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then you realize that the biggest gift is being able to be with yourself and being safe and being content with your life, with the right people around you, with positive people.
Yeah.
Anything else, like everything else is extra.
100%, 100%. And sometimes, you know, when you look back at some memories, you're like, it was nice being at this place, but that wasn't the reason why I enjoyed that place. I enjoyed it because of the people around me, or because, you know, I tasted that food, which didn't cost so much. You know, every time I went to a fancy restaurant, I was like, I had a better experience in Nando's than I did going to a five-star restaurant. And it's just this whole idea of looking like something versus actually feeling that you're having a good time, or you're feeling, you know, those things are priceless versus the ones that you put money on. But yeah, the whole idea of minimalism is such an important part as well.
And, you know, I used to have like a very interesting habit before, and it was asking people about some of the pleasures of life that are completely free, like watching the sunset, laughing with people that you love, or things that don't really cost much but make you very happy. You know, it can be also a nice meal made from your mom or from your grandma, and a nice hug from someone that you love. You know, all those things are so cheap.
Yeah.
And they make you so happy. You know, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah. And if we did more of those things, can you imagine?
Yeah, and you know, we keep ourselves busy and we forget about what is really important sometimes.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
People that really, you know.
Because, you know, the whole pandemic, I think there was such a, you know, big disappointment with what we couldn't do. But then we started, I started valuing what I had, you know. My family was here, you know, luckily, like I can see them when I got a chance to. I have good support systems in my friends, you know. The little things that you spoke about, like I had, one day woke up early, saw the sunrise from my balcony. I was like, I wouldn't have done that if I had to go to work the next day. But there was things that I was able to do, and I was like, going to the park, nature. I didn't realize I like nature so much until then.
Yeah, and the forest and all these beautiful places in nature, so beautiful.
Yeah. What it does to the mind, it's like, it helps so much just to be out there. But also, for you to realize that you're not as big as you think you are in terms of your problems, because you realize there's a whole world that's out there that's living beyond you. But sometimes we so internalize that and we start looking at ourselves like we're the biggest, you know, person in the world, and then you put too much pressure on yourself, which is unfortunate as well. But it's important.
One of the things that I like, we tend to live so deeply, which is the fact that we feel like the world is gonna end if we do something bad at work, or if we make a mistake. But then nothing happens, you know. Like, obviously you're gonna have some little problems, you're gonna have to be aware of that, but your world is not gonna end, you know. And we feel so much stress because of this way of absolute, like, thinking of black or white. If I do it good, fine. If I do it bad, the world is gonna end. It's awful, everything's gonna go wrong. But then you realize that the sun is gonna always come up, always. Yeah. You know, there are people that are always gonna be there for you. And your life is gonna continue being the same thing. And especially if you lose your job, fine, you lost your job. But it's not the end of the world. Mm. Maybe this, your biggest struggle tends to be your biggest gift long term, right? Because then you realize that you didn't really enjoy your job, and you can start working different things or studying a different thing.
Yeah.
Many times this happens, you know?
Yeah. It's a bit, not woo-ha, but I'm going to say it, like, there is a bigger, for me, I believe there's a bigger picture.
Yeah.
Sometimes in life, things are meant to break for you to rise above and overcome. At least for my life, it's been that way. And so each door that's closed is another door open. And it's hard to have that faith if you don't see it. That's why it's so important to internalize what you really need to do going forwards and how you want to look after yourself. And then start from there and slowly build up. It's not automatic that it's going to happen the next day. But one thing I started adopting is this 1% rule, which is 1% better each day. So it doesn't need to be anything drastic, but if I do one thing that I love doing 1% better than I did yesterday, then hopefully that compounds over time. And then that will hopefully open the door somewhere down the line. So let me ask this bear question. Do you believe in like 5-year plans, 10-year plans? Are you more fluid with the way you do your coaching approach? Do you take it in small chunks? Like,
I do like to see, for example, like what is the vision for 5 years time, so they can see how wrong they were. Because it never happens like that. Life changes so much.
Yeah.
You can be here and then you can be in a completely different place the next day. So I do tend to see it as a project. What is your project right now? And what would you like me to help you with?
Mm.
But not 5 years vision, let's make it happen. And planning moving to a different country in 5 years. No, it's like, go step by step. Life will change and you have to change with it. So what you like right now may not be the thing that you will like in maybe a couple of months. Mm. So let's not waste our time and be more short-term focused, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I think those short-term goals are better because over time you start building confidence in achieving goals, right? Maybe you say, okay, I'm going to climb this big Mount Everest, and you never start to like even walking up a hill, then that's going to be very huge to take on. And then you're going to be overwhelmed. Then you're going to back away from just doing something basic.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, sometimes this happens. I do it with myself because I do tend to think very big in terms of my business. So I did change my approach and I do feel much better about myself and about what I'm doing, which is getting 2 clients every week. Every week I get 2 different clients. And whenever I achieve this little goal, I feel so great. Mm. Instead of thinking, I want to get 20 clients in a month, and stressing and never achieving it, I did realize that I don't need 20 clients in a month. In fact, I will not be as passionate about it because I will be stressed and I won't be fully present. Because I will be thinking, oh, this is not enough. This is not enough. And I cannot spend too much time with you. And I cannot build a actual relationship, which is literally my business, is relationships.
Mm.
And then I will lose the trust from my clients. So sometimes slowing down to speed up is the wisest thing you can do.
Yeah.
And that's, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, the fact that you already factored that in, like there is... Sometimes people say, oh, I want to be famous. I want to be a multimillionaire, which is great. If you want that, that's fine. But there's a cost that comes with all that stuff as well. And you have to be able to manage your expectations realistically and saying, okay, what is good enough for me and what serves the purpose, right? And if you say 2 clients, then that's great. And that's 2 clients each day and then it compounds to actually being 20, then you've actually achieved your goal. So it's amazing how it works, right?
And do you know what happens? That sometimes people that do these very long-term goals and they achieve this very big goal, for example, like you said, I want to have £1 million. And then they have the £1 million and they ask themselves, is this it? Is this it?
Yeah.
What then? What is next?
Mm.
And then you don't have the long-term kind of gratification. You just have like, I'm good. I'm fine now. I don't know what to do now, you know. Sometimes it is better to go to the mastery process of mastering your skill rather than mastering how much money you have in your bank.
Oh, yeah.
Because this happens a lot. Like if, you know, if you are an author and you write books and you only want to write a best-selling book and then you write this best-selling book, and you sell many, many copies and that is great and everything is going fantastic, then you stop because you already did it. And then you become lost. But if instead you focus on the mastery process of things and you realize that what you really want is to master your skill of writing, then you will never lose your motivation because there will be always one step ahead. There will be always a bit more of improvement. You know, there's always more.
Oh yeah.
When it comes to mastery, there's no masters, there's only learners. And that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Constantly learning.
You know, the crazy thing is, the more you say everything you just said right now, the more I realize that we've been taught, obviously we live in a capitalist society, if you're from the West, and the idea was you learn some skills to get a good job, to eventually pay some bills and retire. And that retirement is kind of the end goal if, you know, we look at it from that avenue. But having enough money to then live your life is something that I think a lot of people who come to that age realize, I learned some skills, but I didn't master the skills for myself. I mastered it to pay some bills, then to build a retirement plan. And now I have things to do, but I have nothing to do. And then live that existence. And that is a painful reality that I think we're not really talking about. We're just like, okay, you know, we can have fun in the weekends and stuff, but we're slowly building our way into that zone. And I don't know, like, I feel like the wake up call is like what you said, find something that you really love doing. And it might not be for the rest of your life. It's just something that you love doing. And over time, master it and keep growing in that skill and you find something else that you like doing.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. How important is that whole mindset as well, with the whole capitalist way of thinking?
Yeah, of course. That is like, that influences a lot when it comes to making decisions in life. But one thing that I do tend to think a lot is, if you are thinking between two different jobs, one that is giving you a lot of money but is not giving you any kind of a skill, and one that is giving you a little bit of money but is teaching you a lot of things and is helping you to improve a skill that you like to improve, don't focus on money and focus on the growth and the exponential change that you can have, and the exponential growth. Because like, I had a conversation with a woman the other day and it was fantastic. It was one of the greatest conversations, maybe not for her, but it was for me. She said that she likes what she's doing because she's making a lot of money, and she was literally filling up surveys for different companies, and nothing to do with what she wanted to do, nothing to do with anything, just because it was short-term gratification, instant gratification, and you do something and you get the gratification and you get the money. But then I was asking her, what about, what are you learning there? And she said, no, not really anything important. It's just, you know, surveys. And then I asked her, would you like to be known as the survey woman for the rest of your life? Or would you like to really be great in one thing and one thing only, and people can be proud of knowing you?
It's a big, big identity question that I think you have to look deep down yourself and realize, you know what, who do I want to become? And who do I want people to remember me by? And that's go for it.
The real question is, am I doing the things that I should be doing in order for me to become the person that I want to become? Am I training every day? Am I taking care of my body, of my health? Am I taking care of my brain, surrounding myself with the right people, positive people? Am I having a great partner that will give me a wonderful life and wonderful kids and a positive life experience? Or am I just living with whatever I got, it would be fine, and settling into things that you don't really want to kind of have in your life?
Yeah. It's so funny how you say everything, because just that mindset alone of, you know, not really focusing on what you want to become, you start attracting things that aren't right for you. So for example, like maybe say relationships, you find a partner who wants things that are more materialistic versus soul nourishing. If you are trying to, you know, say, okay, I've got a good career, okay, that person sees that, cool, I want to be with that person, versus like this person doesn't follow my dreams, right? And you need someone to kind of follow you and both of you in terms of that parallel path of knowing what you want, you know, with your dreams, with your ambitions, with your goals. And that's so important. But sometimes it's so, it feels like consumerism, with the idea of wanting someone just because they're a safe choice. You know, how important is it in terms of relationships and even friendships as well?
And I think it all has to do with your standards. So if you have high standards when it comes to relationships, and you have high standards when it comes to your job and yourself and your body and everything, you're literally gonna have a fantastic life. They tend to say that easy choices will become a hard life, and hard choices will take you to a easy life.
Yeah.
So if you train right now, and if you take care of your body right now, you will have so many more years being able to move more freely, and you will avoid having long-term health issues, chronic issues, and you will be happier, you know. And that is a hard choice, you know, waking up every single day, going to the gym, that is a hard choice.
Yeah.
But it will take you to an easy life. Same with your business. Same with all the hard choices you are making in your life, will take you to an easy life. But if you carry on drinking that Coke, eating fast food, and surrender yourself with the people that you always had in your life, and you know, being okay with whatever it comes to your life, you will have a hard life. And you will be unhappy for many years, because you will have so many issues, so many issues. And you will then realize that you have a huge depression, and your body is, you're not looking good. You're not, you know, your self-esteem is not great, and people don't want to be with you anymore.
And that's the thing, is this idea of being comfortable is the easiest way to lose it all. That's one thing I've realized, like, you think, okay, you're good right now. Wait until something like this happens, where we had a pandemic. You didn't save any money because you thought you'd always be okay. And then you ask for a government handout and they say, okay, we're gonna give you furlough. Oh yeah, furlough is over now. And you're left on your own. So you, at the end of the day, you're left on your own with your own resilience of making the hard choices anyways. So it's whether you choose to make the hard choices early and quickly and fail often, that fast, or you take that all on one big chunk and realize you never were prepared for it, which is unfortunate.
Exactly, yeah.
I was going to say, it also leads to other areas of life, because you mentioned looking after your health, for example. You know, if you go to the gym, you kind of build this resilience of having to wake up early, like you said, or, you know, doing things that you are uncomfortable. So when you're making uncomfortable choices, you know what uncomfortable feels like through your body, so your mind is understands what uncomfortable feels like, and so hopefully you can build up resilience to say yes or no to the right things.
And you know, like, if you do very uncomfortable things, what is really extremely extremely uncomfortable for other people, it will be nothing for you.
Yeah.
You know, and that is literally amazing when you see people moaning about things and saying, oh, that is too hard, and you do it in 5 seconds. It's fantastic.
It's a superpower.
Superpower, yeah. You become, you know, your superhero, the superhero of your life and the people around you.
And that's the funny thing, now that you mention it, like, you know, as kids, you always look towards a role model and you start saying, oh, you know, who do I want to look like? Who do I want to be like? And when you're an adult, you realize all the heroes, at least for me, I'm like, they're just average people who've done extraordinary things. What's stopping me from becoming that version of myself? And you start looking at it from a different lens and start becoming that, really.
Yeah, it's literally anything, like, anything and nothing at the same time.
Mm.
anything can stop you, but nothing can really stop you if you really have the right mindset.
Oh yeah,
it's fantastic. Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like with this podcast, you know, just talking about myself a little bit, like the idea of what we talked about, the victim mindset, to then getting to the point where I'm talking to people and saying, how did you get started? What was your journey like? And then hearing the stories and realizing actually we all started from the same point. We weren't happy. We want to do something about it. Let's make a change. How do we grow from it? Surround yourself with good people, build a network, you know, try to see what problem areas you might have to sort of improve on. Look into yourself and do it slowly over time, and you start realizing your life will change. And it's just taking that one step. You know, I think a lot of times people think if I want to do well in life, I have to do something extraordinary. Well, all you have to do is just go into the building that you want to go into, step in, and if you do that enough times, then you get there.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Any final words for our listeners?
Whenever you stop watching this podcast, start making it happen. Yeah. Start putting action. Start doing the things that scared you. And start watching your life change.